Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.
Hi, I'm Angela Davis, and you're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream my show live weekdays at 11 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show. Good morning. I'm Angela Davis, and you're listening to NPR News. Thank you for spending part of your Memorial Day with us. We're taking some time this hour to get to know a new leader here in Minnesota. He is the new CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters Twin Cities, and his name is Pat Sukum. Big Brothers Big Sisters is recognized across the country for its work in youth mentoring. But did you know the Twin Cities chapter is the fourth largest in the nation? And since 2015, it's doubled the number of young people it serves. Pat Sukum is now in charge of Big Brothers Big Sisters Twin Cities, and he is joining us this hour to talk about the way mentoring can change the life of both the mentee and the mentor, what role this plays in racial equity, and what his vision is for Big Brothers Big Sisters. And we're taking your phone calls. The phone lines are open. We want to hear from you. Have you been involved with Big Brothers Big Sisters? Or do you have a mentoring relationship that has changed you? Call us at 651-227-6000. Again, the number is 651-227-6000. You can also leave me a message on Twitter. I'm at Angela Davis, NPR. Pat Sukum is the incoming CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters Twin Cities. He'll start as CEO in June. And for the past decade, he's been on the organization's board of directors. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Angela. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Congratulations on the new job. I know you haven't started yet, but how are you feeling about taking on this leadership position?
You know, I am through the roof excited, right? I mean, if there's any job anyone could have and feel better about it than improving the youth in our community or helping them amplify their voices, this would be it.
And you know this organization. I mean, you, as I mentioned, you've served on the board of directors, and you became a Big Brother a long time ago, back in 1998. So looking back, what do you remember about how you first heard about the organization?
Yeah, you know, as you said, going back to 1998, it was kind of funny. It was that summer, and I don't know if it was just in my subconscious. Maybe I saw a billboard or something. And truthfully, I think it's more that the brand of Big Brothers Big Sisters is huge. You know, everyone knows about it. I literally just opened a phone book that summer. I mean, if we even remember what those are, flipped through the white pages, found Big Brothers Big Sisters, and decided I was going to be a mentor, right? And it's interesting because I called it and I had that misconception, right? I went in and said, I am going to change this world one Derek was the name of my little, one Derek at a time, right? I was 24 and I thought I had it all figured out. I was an adult, right? I had lived, I had experienced everything, and I was going to change him and change the world. And clearly, as we'll talk about a lot, you realize that, as you said in the intro, mentoring has such an impact on both the mentor and the mentee. And I think it's a little easy to come in thinking you're going to be a savior and then to find out that really you're going into probably the most balanced relationship you're ever going to be a part of.
Mm. So tell us, for people who are not familiar with Big Brothers and Big Sisters or its history, what can you share with our audience about just how this has been an organization that's been around for more than a century?
Yeah, so here in the Twin Cities, we have been around for 101 years. And actually, nationally, it's over 115 years. And the organization was actually developed as an innovative alternative to the criminal justice system, right? So how do we, you know, find a different path, an innovative path to send our youth down that might be facing adversity? And you can kind of see where that leads and what populations that serve. And as you said in your intro, how that lends itself to heading down the path of justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion as well.
And so What was going on in your life back in 1998 that made you want to be a part of Big Brothers Big Sisters? Because you said you were 24, you figured it all out. So why did you want to be a mentor to someone?
Yeah, I just don't know if it was sort of inherently sort of in me or inherent in all the bigs that volunteer with the organization. It was a summer where I had a lot going on. I was actually, most of my career has been spent in healthcare startups. So that's what I've been doing the last couple decades. And that's the first summer I helped co-found the first startup I was at as well. And I think it truly was just a moment where I felt change was in my future. And I thought, oh, I can have this big impact. And it's kind of funny because I look back on, you know, thinking, oh, what a big decision Big Brothers Big Sisters was and how life-changing it's going to be. But truly, it's just a step forward, right? It isn't this massive change in your life. You can live your life pretty similar. You're just pulling somebody into it. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being a very kind of natural path for me. It wasn't the shake that I thought it was going to be.
So I want to learn more. I mean, you said that what you were expecting, that you were going to, you know, change Derek's life, your little. And how old was Derek at the time, your little brother?
He was nine.
Oh, like in fourth grade. He's a little guy.
Yeah, he's a little guy.
So what was it like instead? Like, what did you get out of getting to know this nine-year-old when you were 24?
Yeah, it's interesting. I kind of even look back on it with a little bit of hindsight and in retrospect. And I mean, it's obviously just having a 15-year gap and meeting someone, there's a lot to be learned, right? There's viewpoints, perspectives. But if you really think about it, and especially with how it's, you know, we've been looking at justice, equity, diversity, inclusion in the last few years, especially, right? It's clearly something we should have been more attuned to longer. But you really, I think about that first time I drove to pick him up. And I'm a Minnesota kid. I was born in St. Paul. I've lived most of my life in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. But I went to pick him up in North Minneapolis. It was maybe a 15-minute drive from the apartment I was living in at the time. And I had never been to North Minneapolis. And I drove in there, and I'm almost embarrassed to say it. I was full of judgment. I was a little bit scared, right? Mm-hmm. I made all the preconceived notions. And I mean, meeting Derek and hanging out in his neighborhood, playing with his friends, right? Walking around the blocks there, you know, you just gain perspective, right? I had created all these ideas in my head, and you just learn that there are different worlds. And that's what Big Brothers Big Sisters really does, is it bring those worlds together, right? It helps you find the commonalities in your diversity, as well as learning those different perspectives and appreciating those approaches.
So how were you and your little brother, Derek, able to build a relationship if you were really coming from different worlds?
You know, I it's funny because that I think about those first meetings, and it's like a lot of times when you meet somebody new, right? I remember driving in the car, and there were awkward silences. And every now and then someone would ask a question that you had synergy across, and you just exploded and talked. And then there was more awkward silence. And I think a lot of what it is early on, it's just accountability, right? You both committing, showing up, being consistent factors in each other's lives. And I do think, depending on how you're raised or where you come from, you can take that for granted. And for some, it's just not as common, and it's a very valuable asset. So you start with accountability, and I think over that you build trust, right? And then that's where the relationship really flourishes. That's where you can start to have open discussions, where you can start to push each other, challenge each other, argue with each other if you have to. But I think that's how it happens, is at first it's just consistency, like honestly any good relationship. And then you really build that trust. And then ultimately with Derek, you know, it's a love, right? He's a best friend, a brother. He was best man in my wedding. You just get to a spot where, you know, it's one of, if not one of the strongest relationships in my life.
So that relationship, it lasted for years. It continues. You said he was in your wedding?
Yeah, absolutely. I spoke with Derek yesterday. We were still very close, and it's, you know, I would absolutely say he's a best friend. I still think we have a mentor-mentee dynamic that honestly sometimes switches around. it's a little sidebar, but I even remember when I was contemplating this CEO position, I went to Derek. I talked to him first, right? We've had such a long history with Big Brothers Big Sisters. I wanted to understand what he thought about me potentially trying for this role. And I said, hey, I'm thinking about this. And he kind of looked at me angered. And I was like, oh, I wonder what I've sort of sparked in him. And he was angry at me that I wasn't going at it 100%.
full throttle.
Right. I think I can honestly say there's probably nobody who believes in me more than my little brother, Derek.
So before this role as a CEO, you mentioned you worked in healthcare startups. That sounds, you know, exciting. What made you want to switch careers?
Yeah, it's I love being in healthcare startups. And surprisingly, I think there is a lot of overlap, right? In a startup, you are selling a vision, right? You are trying to get people to understand your ideas and your concepts. And most of the healthcare startups I worked in were around, you know, creating inclusivity around everything, right? If I think about the startup I'm at now, it's called Bind. Right. And we are trying to reduce disparities in healthcare. Right. I said, if you think about healthcare, probably as much as any industry, has huge discrepancies around both affordability and access. Well, Bind is really trying to push that forward. Right. And I think in healthcare, you see, and this is true across the community, if you lift the most marginalized, right, or the most untapped, everyone rises. Right. You can truly see that it's not a zero sum game. Right. There's been lots of studies and TED Talks, right? A lot of times prejudice actually causes the discriminator to suffer. Right. And I think that kind of notion, even in healthcare, these mission-driven healthcare companies like Bind, really made the transition to Big Brothers, Big Sisters, frankly, even in my own head, a little bit easier than I probably expected. Right. There's no doubt I've been volunteering with Big Brothers, Big Sisters for 20 plus years. I've been singing their praises from the rooftops for as long as I can remember. So I feel very comfortable with the organization. But I know working in that space, already trying to sort of look at inequality is going to vastly help me as I enter into this with the staff at Big Brothers Big Sisters.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Pat Sukham. He's the incoming CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters Twin Cities. He will start as CEO in June. And you know, he's already been on the board of directors for the past decade. And as he's been describing to us just now, he became a big brother in 1998. I want to talk to you also, though. I want to hear your memories. I want to know about whether or not you've been involved with Big Brothers, Big Sisters, or if you have a mentoring relationship right now that has changed you. You can call us at 651-227-6000. Again, the number is 651-227-6000. I'm at Angela Davis, NPR on Twitter. Let's go to the phone lines, Pat, and talk to some of our listeners. In Duluth, Jody is joining us right now. Good morning, Jody. How are you?
I am fine. Good morning to you, too.
What did you want to share with us?
I wanted to share that my little sister, Terry, and I were paired up in 1977. And it has ended up being a lifelong commitment. And she had a rough household being raised by a single mom. And then a year and a half after we were paired, I had to move. And they tried to pair Terry up with two other women. And it just didn't work. So Terry called me and says, "Will you still be my big sister?" And you know, we just did stuff. We were working in state parks at the time and did a lot of hiking and swimming and naturalist presentations. And she did make it through high school. I was so proud that she graduated. And we've been through marriages and divorces. And I just talked to her last week. We talk on the phone probably once every week or two.
My goodness.
And so Terry is my true little sister, and her two kids are my niece and nephew.
So, Jody, it sounds like you and Terry really connected, and you've had just a lifelong commitment to her.
Yeah, and it's funny because I have four sisters, but this is just such a special relationship. And it just keeps going on. And I've been through her mom passing, and they did have a good relationship their last 10 years. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Terry is my true little sister, and we tease about it quite often.
And how old is she now, Jody? How old is your little sister now?
57.
You guys are still going strong. So it definitely sounds like, you know, this began with you deciding to step up and volunteer your time, but you have gotten so much out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. She's as close as a sister as anybody can be.
Well, Jody,
and she lets me know real often what our relationship means to her, too.
Well, Jody in Duluth, thank you for calling in and sharing your memories and such a heartwarming story. I appreciate it. That's very inspiring, isn't it, Pat?
Oh, my goodness. I absolutely love hearing that, Jody. And I think she highlights so many wonderful things about the program, you know, that her little came from, you know, it was a youth in a household headed by a single parent and already had four sisters. And, you know, by no means are we trying to replace anything in someone's life. There's always going to be, another caring adult involved and a lot of love in the family. Mm-hmm. It's just bringing in another perspective. And again, bringing in sort of that idea of different worlds. And I'm so inspired to hear that. 44 years later, still talking once a week. I'm just blown away.
So, Pat, tell me, what do we know about the Littles? Who are these children and teenagers? How would you describe them in terms of age and just, you know, other information about, you know, who these kids and teenagers are?
Yeah, so about 80% of the youth we serve are between the ages of 10 and 15, and we have some that go a little younger, and we have some that are a little older, and we're starting to actually span more into those older ages, right? If we think about that idea of helping all children achieve their full potential, right? A lot of that happens around the end of high school, right? And mm-hmm. the next decisions and the next stages that happen. You know, in the Big Brothers, Big Sisters of the Twin Cities, the majority of our work is in the five metro counties. About 85% of the youth we serve are BIPOC. It can really span, you know. So I've already mentioned a couple times, you know, clearly the work we do around justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion. And a lot of that is tied to racial systems, systems of inequality, excuse me. Especially, again, sort of highlighted in the last year or so since the tragedy with George Floyd. But when we talk about justice, equity, diversity, inclusion, it's across a lot of spectrums. Right. Again, there's age that comes into play, socioeconomic status, a lot of other things that play into that piece. And again, inherently, Big Brothers, Big Sisters is going to lean into that and play a strong role.
Let's take more phone calls. We have on the line today Pat Sukum, the incoming CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters Twin Cities. He starts that new job in June, and we're getting to know him better. And hearing from you all, too, like, what are your stories, your memories of your involvement with this organization or another mentoring program, and what did you get out of it? Call us at 651-227-6000. On the line right now in Lake Elmo, we've got Bruce on the phone. Good morning, Bruce.
Yeah, good morning.
Hi, what did you want to share with us?
Well, I became a Big Brother back in 1973.
Oh, my.
And my little brother was single, product of a mother who... Single mother. Mm-hmm. And it became very apparent that my little brother, Mark, was very smart. So ultimately, he wanted to go to an older dame, but they wouldn't give him any scholarship. So my brother and I talked Cornell College into giving him a full scholarship the first year.
Oh, wow.
He graduated from Cornell and then decided he wanted to become a doctor. Well, my brother David is a doctor and was at that point on the faculty of the University of Iowa Med School. So we got him into the University of Iowa Med School and he graduated there. His mother lived just long enough to see him graduate, and then right mm-hmm. after he graduated from med school, she died. Mm. But we've remained close all these years. It was pretty apparent that Mark was very intelligent and was capable of doing almost anything.
And Bruce, when you talk to Mark now, what does he say about the impact that you made on his life? How does he describe your relationship?
Well, I think he was very happy that not only did I pay a lot of attention to him, but my brother did too. Mm-hmm. One thing we used to do, we used to play pool a lot because we could play pool and he would be real quiet. And then after about half an hour or so, he'd open up and tell me whatever was on his mind. By playing pool, we were able to, and I never ran the TV when he was with me. I never went to movies. I always did things where he could talk to me. Mm-hmm. So it was either play tennis or play pool because they were quiet.
I like that. That's Bruce in Lake Elmo became a big brother back in 1973. And again, Pat, I mean, that's he provides a great example of just that attention, like if just giving a young person attention, what that can do for them.
Yeah, now we're at like almost 50 years. You know, it's like everyone, this is unbelievable. And I absolutely agree, you know, you think about the impact he had on his little, and I assume, again, it kind of went both ways. If I even, and continuing to bring it back to Derek, who I could talk about forever, you know, I think about Derek. I do believe I have put Derek or helped Derek, not put, have helped Derek mm-hmm. get onto a better path. But I would also say because of Derek, I'm a better person. And I think that's really how that relationship works.
What advice do you give mentors, big brothers, big sisters, and how to spend time with young people? Because, again, you're competing now with, you know, screen times and just lots of, you have a lot of options for activities. But how do they spend their time together? And what do you all recommend as the best way to spend time with a little?
You know, my personal recommendation is to kind of just pull them into your life. You know, so we absolutely have programs to help, you know, and teen program, we call it, as a little gets older, to help them look at their post-secondary options, things like that. And you can kind of inherently see what kind of activities might come out of that. But I think it's easy to want to think, oh man, do I need to take my little to Valley Fair every weekend, right? Or spend a lot of money. And I think it's kind of, again, that lost perspective. If I think about Derek, I think some of his favorite things, I mean, we played a lot of sports together. We really bonded over that. The agency and the staff over at Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Twin Cities is unbelievable, right? It's a large reason I'm so excited to start there. But they've got programs that are free that they offer as well. But I remember like some Saturday saying, hey, Derek, I have to go into the office and get some work done. And him saying, can I come with you? Right? And he just sat at the desk next to me, excuse me. Maybe he was on the internet. Maybe he was reading a book. Maybe he was sorting through some baseball cards. But you kind of lose track that there's just a lot of exposure and a lot of interesting things you do that you might not think are interesting. But to someone who hasn't seen it before, it was really remarkable. So, you know, we had a lot of fun trying to bake cookies. We weren't very successful, but we had a lot of fun doing it. And I think it is an easier step than I think a lot of people at, you know, I think there is a responsibility. I don't want to diminish that, but it's amazing how the potential that so many people have to be bigs and once they become bigs.
Let's take another phone call. In Minneapolis, Scott is on the line. And Scott, as we talk with the incoming CEO of Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Twin Cities, what did you want to share with us?
Yes, good morning.
Scott, you still there? All right, we've lost Scott.
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you, Scott. Continue. I can hear you.
Oh, good.
Go right ahead.
Good, good. Yes. What I'd like to add is that the Big Brother program I was in for, I met a big brother or a little brother in 2000, and we've known each other since then. And what I'd like to add is that it was just as much a blessing for me as it was for my little brother, Corey, I think, as I look back on it. I never really considered myself a mentor for Corey, but we just were friends. And what Corey wanted was just for me to show up when I said I was going to show up. And the other thing was I never spent a lot of money because I always thought if all I do is just spending money on this kid, that's not the point. So unfortunately, I have lost track of Corey. It's been a number of years since he just disappeared one day, and I don't. And to this day, I wish I could know where he is. I'd give my eyepiece to know how he is. But it was a great program, and I really enjoyed doing it. So
Scott, what was going on in your life at the time that you reached out and decided I want to become involved with Big Brothers Big Sisters, and I want to be
That's a really good point. I've been single all my life, and I thought at one point, well, there's got to be more than this. And I think I had run across the Big Brother booth at the Powderhorn art fair.
Mm-hmm.
And I just walked by and I thought, okay, I'll sign up just out of, why not? Didn't think anything was going to come of it. And then I got a call saying, yeah, you're going to be a Big Brother. And then I thought, well, let's go. Why not? And it worked out great. Just on a whim, I was walking past this booth and thought, well, what the heck, let's try it. And it was really a great experience.
Well, Scott, thank you for calling in and sharing your story. And I hope you're able to reconnect with Corey one day. That would be good. And Pat, as I mentioned in the introduction, the Twin Cities chapter of Big Brothers Big Sisters is now the fourth largest in the country, and it's growing. Since 2015, your organization has almost doubled the number of young people it serves. So what's up with that?
Yeah, I think, and I think it really is just sort of a statement about our community. And I'm thrilled with that. It's especially in the last couple of years, and don't get me wrong, Minneapolis is my favorite city in the world. But we have a little bit of tarnish on us the last few years. And I think people are finding other ways to get involved. And I think it is a commitment, but again, it really is something that can fit in your life and serve as a way to gain that perspective. I do think, I use my example of when I drove into North Minneapolis that first time. I think the learning more than ever is going both ways. Just like Scott said, where it affects the mentor and the mentee. And then, if I even think about sort of the future of mentoring, I went back and I said, I would have this savior complex, right? I'm going to save Derek. And even after that, I still thought, oh, how silly of me. Both sides get a lot out of this. And I still found myself, hey, Derek, you got to go to school every day. You got to go to school every day. I went to school every day. You got to go to school every day. Well, the truth is, I think the future of mentoring, or not even the future, but the reality of mentoring is we have to step back and really look at where we're coming from, right? It was pretty easy for me to go to school every day, right? I had transportation. I had a support network and parents that really pushed me in that sense. And I think for me to just say, Derek, you need to go to school every day is not the approach, right? That necessarily works because we're not being critical about it. We're not thinking about the context. And I think that's where the real learning can occur. It's getting past the savior thing I had at first, but also understanding we are coming from different worlds and different perspectives. And how do we embrace and amplify those situations to help people break that status quo?
If you're just joining us, we're talking with the incoming CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters Twin Cities. His name is Pat Sukum. He starts his new job as CEO in June. And June 1st is tomorrow, Pat. When do you start?
I start June 7th.
June 7th. You've got the rest of this week to think about what you're going to bring to the organization. But we're getting to know him this hour and taking your phone calls as well. But if you want to share a story with us about your involvement with Big Brothers Big Sisters or another organization where you've been able to be a mentor to a young person, we want to hear your stories. The number is 651-227-6000. Again, 651-227-6000. Now, before we go back to the phone lines, I have another guest to bring in. Derek Pam is on the line. You've been hearing the name Derek quite a bit this hour. Derek is Pat Sukum's little brother. They met back in 1998, and we asked Derek to join us for just a couple of minutes to tell us about being in the program, what it was like to be a little to Pat, and he's joining us now from St. Paul. Hi there, Derek. Good morning.
Hey, Angela. How's it going?
I'm doing great. Were you psyched when you heard your big brother was chosen to be the CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters? How did you react to the news?
I was pretty excited. I know he sat on it for a few days, and then I know one evening, I think he ended up like shooting me a text message saying, hey, I need to talk to you, brother. And I was like, yeah, for sure. I was like, it kind of sounds concerning, but let's hear it. So one day after work, made my way over there, and he pretty much laid out the news, and he was telling me, hey, I got a really great opportunity to be the CEO at Big Brothers Big Sisters. And I was just like, my jaw kind of just dropped. And I was like, that would be perfect for you. You definitely have to take it. And so we ended up conversating for quite a few hours on that topic and just everything else in life that's been going on. And told him, yeah, you should definitely shoot for it. So, yeah.
So, Derek, can you think back, describe to us meeting Pat, and how he introduced himself to you and sort of your first impressions of him when you were just 9 years old.
9 years old. Let's see here. My first impression of Pat, we have to say it was he seemed pretty nervous, especially like coming into like the neighborhood where I grew up in North Minneapolis. I mean, if you're not from there, it's definitely one of those things, I guess you would be wary to come around, but I came in, my mom, my brothers, the whole family was there, and everybody got themselves very familiar with Pat, and just talking to him and just kind of hear him conversate with my mother, because my mother's like my everything to me, but, you know, kind of having her have like this huge like relief and like trust in Pat, and kind of just hearing those two as adults, you know, conversate about like some of the things that, you know, we could be doing, or like how to grow myself as a boy in such like a young or such a tough neighborhood. And so like one of my first impressions of Pat, it was, he had a lot of pride showing and a lot of good vibes going on with him himself, of like where he was in life at 24, I believe at the time. And just when, like, I saw Pat, and, like, even as the years continue, just, like, I want to be just like him. He's definitely my role model, something and somebody that, you know, a lot of people in the world that we live in could definitely look up to and, you know, definitely follow his lead, and he'll definitely lead you to success, like, no matter what it is.
So, Derek, as a nine-year-old boy, how could you tell that he was nervous? What were you picking up on initially that he was a little hesitant when he first met you? Or he, as he described to us, like he said he had not been to North Minneapolis before.
Yep. So something, again, that I picked up on, some people, what I know, they have kind of that like tremble in their voice, and it could be of excitement, it could be, you know, nervousness, it could be, you know, a whole line of things, but I think when, like, you first introduce yourself, or, like, you're new to a neighborhood, or you're new to a family, you know, of a different race, or whatever the case may be, I think that, like, nervousness just kind of automatically strikes us at, like, you know, introduction. So from when I saw him, I could just kind of tell, like, oh, man, this is definitely different for me, but I'm definitely willing to, you know, tackle any obstacle, or, you know, hope, you know, change this kid's life the best that I can.
So, Derek, how has this relationship affected you or changed you or the way you see the world? What do you think you've gotten out of your relationship with Pat as your big brother?
I have to say, first and foremost, a different love. You know, a lot of people can talk about, like, you know, love with their family and whatnot, but, like, you know, coming from, like, an outsider, which was Pat back in, you know, that time. And, you know, being able to, like, open up in ways that you never thought you can open up to, you know, even your loved one's family, you know, and watching this outsider, you know, kind of, like, pick your mind and also, like, make you feel at ease. Because, like, you know, now in today's world, or even back then, we live in a judgmental world. But for Pat, it was really organic and really just easy for me to, like, express myself to him, because just kind of, like, the vibe that he gave off, like, hey, I'm not going to press you, kid. I want to, you know, get to know you the best that I can to, you know, help you grow. And, you know, knowing Pat, you know, from this nine-year-old boy until, you know, this man that's 32 day and age, he has definitely helped me, like, grow, like, in a lot of ways. And one of the main ways, again, that stood out to me and it will always stand out to me would be, you know, showing people love and, you know, giving peace to the world, because everybody needs love in, you know, our day and age, and even back then. But I think what he showed me a lot was just love openly and, you know, care and listen to people of how they feel and their reactions and so forth. So I took that with, like, you know, a large grain of salt and kind of, like, molded it into my own. And was like, yep, I'm going to show love and peace to the world, no matter how, like, bad that person is having a day, or no matter whatever kind of look you get from this person to show love to the world, because everybody needs love in life.
And Derek, you know, Pat asked you to be in his wedding. So obviously, your relationship over time has changed. And how would you describe, like, you know, now that you've known each other for more than 20 years, how it's changed over time and what it is now?
Let's see. I would have to say when I got the, well, let's go to the wedding. When I got the text message on the wedding, Pat was pretty nervous. And he was just, I got some news to tell you. And he was just like, hey, I'm getting married. And like, you know, it was another one of those jaw-dropping moments for me. And I was just like, wow. Like, I would have never, like, guessed this at all, because, you know, Pat's really committed to work. And he wants to see every foundation, you know, succeed the best way that it can. And for Big Brothers, him stepping in for the CEO role, I think it's just going to grow that much better. But when he had gave me the call of the wedding, like, my heart just like just smiled in a million ways. And I was just like, when is this going to happen? You know, me and my girlfriend will definitely be there for sure. We went with it for the world. So when we got the news, I was pretty excited and just like a happy sad. We're like, you're really happy, but you like shed tears and whatnot. But it was like sad. So when he told me, it was really like great news, because, you know, Pat and I on a whole different side story. We definitely had our difficulties in life with a lot of things, from, you know, hardships with, you know, family, hardships with relationships, friendships, and a bunch. And just to hear that, I was just really fortunate to be, you know, one of the first few. But not only that, but just to be a part of his world and that degree.
And Pat, are you still there? Are you still with us, Pat?
Yeah, I'm here. Those are good questions, Angela. I think it's getting a little dusty over in my area over here.
So, Pat, how would you answer this question? Derek, your little brother from 1998, you asked him to be in your wedding. How do you describe how your relationship changed during that time, working together through Big Brothers, Big Sisters?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably, and you know, I don't have kids, so I don't know it exactly, but I think you just evolve probably, like, you know, you get to get on more on the same plane, right? You go from an adult and a child to two adults, right? And again, you still have a mentor-mentee dynamic that again goes back and forth, but I think we just grew together, and I mean, I think Derek would say we've had moments of pure joy, happiness. We've laughed a ton. And we've also had moments where we were probably pretty upset with each other and kind of threw down a little bit and called each other out. And I think you just get to a spot where you're on a level plane. And I think that's really what it was. And I mean, again, it kind of going even back to some of the justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion work. I mean, we've just had discussions around that, you know, that would never have been able to happen without the trust we created when we were younger, right? To be honest, to call each other out, to sort of represent different perspectives, but finding that there's clearly a blend between them as well.
And Pat, you are the child of immigrants from Thailand. How has that shaped you as an adult, and what has that allowed you to bring into this role?
Yeah, it's funny. It's a lot of it is a little bit of hindsight looking back. And I think about how my parents raised me, and I was born in St. Paul. And my mom just wanted me to fit in, right? She was a great Thai cook, and she would make these glorious Thai meals for my dad. And then she would make like hamburgers and hot dogs for my sister and me, right? They always spoke English around us. I mean, she named me Patrick, right? The most common Irish name when I was born, right? She was so concerned I wouldn't fit in. And I am so grateful for that, in the sense that it was extra effort. I do feel like I fit in, whatever that means, really well. But, you know, looking back, it was really fitting me into a box, right? Or fitting me into the one path, potentially the one system, so I would succeed here. And you look back on that and you say, well, probably you also missed out on the opportunity to better embrace what would have been my culture, my heritage, or my parents' culture and heritage, as well as be able to bring that to others. So I am absolutely grateful. It was extra work. It was extra time, extra thought that my parents put in. But I do see sort of the rub there as well, where where it did lock me down that path and probably reinforce that path. And I see that there's just greater opportunity there. There's just a lot of different ways and a lot of different paths. And I think we ultimately need to open up those paths for all children to actually reach their full potential.
And Derek, you're still there with us, yes?
Yes, I'm still here.
And so my last question, are you considering becoming a big brother or a mentor yourself one day?
It's definitely a possibility. It's definitely, I know Pat and I, we definitely talked about it, and we've gone through a few services of Big Brothers and Big Sisters, and they're like, you definitely should, you know, be you'd be a great fit and candidate. But there's just so much in life right now just going on. I just want to make sure that if I do become a big, I want to be time available for the kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to be all there for that kid. And I think that's really, a big necessity of being a big. It's just making sure that you have, you know, the time for right. that kid. Because every kid nowadays, you know, they need a parent or they need, you know, a father or a mother or some kind of guidance. That we, you know, be there for them 100% instead of, you know, 75% of the time.
You want to do it right. Well, Derek Pam, the little brother of Pat Sukum, who is the new CEO of Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Twin Cities. Thank you, Derek, for letting us talk with you and getting your point of view. Thank you, Derek.
No, thank you so much, Angela.
All right, let's go to the phone lines again as we talk with the incoming CEO of Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Twin Cities and get to know him better. Let's hear more from our listeners who have stories to share as well. In St. Paul, Susan's on the phone. Susan, thank you for waiting. And what did you want to share with us?
Oh, sure. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was a big sister back when I was in college in the 1970s. And my little sister and I reconnected over Facebook.
Oh, nice.
And which has been wonderful. And one thing that was so striking to me was that my dad, in a lot of ways, became a father figure to her. Mm-hmm. And when we were connecting, she sent me a picture. She took a picture of a picture she had taken with my dad. And you could tell it had been, like, taped on a wall for a really long time. And her first question was, hey, how is Teddy Bear? Which is what she always called my dad. And you know, it was such an important relationship for her, even though they only met a couple times. It had so much meaning for her to not just to have a big sister, but to sort of have a family in a different way than she had. And that was really striking for me.
And Susan.
That's okay. You talked about people not spending money, and I was a college student, so I had no money. So Doreen would help me wash my car, walk around, and it was great. You know, it was just her knowing that I was going to show up.
And I, Susan, does it comfort you to know that Big Brothers Big Sisters is still going strong today?
Oh, I think it's wonderful. It's such a great organization. I ultimately became a child therapist. That's what I've, you know, done for many years. And now I work with adults, too. But I think it probably had something to do with that as well. And I think it continues to meet a real need for young people and for volunteers who have something that they want to give.
Thank you. That's Susan in St. Paul. Let's take another phone call in Minneapolis as we talk about Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Twin Cities and its new CEO, Pat Sukum. Tracy's on the phone. Hi, Tracy. What did you want to share with us?
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Certainly.
I just wanted to share that really I am the second generation impacted by Big Brothers, Big Sisters. My father was a little brother in 1945 to a man who was a Swedish immigrant shortly after World War II ended, I guess, or in the midst of it. His mother passed away, and my dad was left with really no man in his life. Mm. And this Herb Mattson and his wife, who had no children, they stepped in and became my dad's big brother and family, and really helped shape my father's life from that point forward and became grandparents to us. And there isn't a day that goes by all these years later that I still don't think about Herb and Fran Mattson and the wonderful gift that they gave to our family.
So the whole family benefited from that relationship. Thank you. That's
absolutely.
That's Tracy in Minneapolis. Let's take another phone call in Marshall, Minnesota. Diane's on the phone. Diane, thank you for waiting. What did you want to share with us?
Thank you for having me on. Well, I started with the Big Brother, Big Sister program back when I was at the U in Minneapolis back in 1974. And then I moved to Marshall after I graduated and got a little buddy here. And then the program lost its funding. So another person and I started a new program called the Big Buddies program. Mm-hmm. We couldn't do Big Brother, Big Sister because we didn't have $1,000 for the membership
to get started.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, the first match from that program was myself with my current little buddy, and we've been together for 30 years. And during that time, we've been through all kinds of ups and downs. But in the end, she went to college, she graduated with high honors, and she now runs the Big Buddy program in Marshall.
Oh, my goodness. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm very proud of her. She's done extremely well.
That's Diane in Marshall, Minnesota. Thank you, Diane. Let's take another phone call in St. Paul. Judith is on the phone. And Judith, what did you want to share with us?
I was a big sister, little sister of nationally in 1992. Mm-hmm. My match was a little Hmong girl. She was a refugee. She was only 6 years old when she came to Minnesota. And she was about 10 when she and I were matched. And we were together until she married at 24 and moved to Atlanta, where she now lives and has 4 children. I thought it was one of the most meaningful experiences I've ever had to be able to help my learn to adjust to American culture, what to expect. We tried to give her an American childhood experience. We'd take her biking, go to state parks. She loved the Arboretum. We did lots of homework and went to lots of movies. Mm-hmm. So it was wonderful.
Thank you. That's Judith in St. Paul. And Pat Sukum, our guest, it's been a little overwhelming for me to hear just how long-lasting these relationships can be. 20, 30 years, 40 years, we've heard today.
Yeah, I'm so inspired. And even from these last few, I love the theme I'm hearing of sort of inspiring people to do more, but also the idea of this community, right? My father was involved and it got my sister to do that. And I think that's really what is sort of not the side effect of it, but I mean, ultimately, clearly we want the mentee to grow. We want the mentor to grow, but it's really this larger community we're serving, right? I mean, if I think about all the friends and family I've pulled in that know Derek and vice versa into his family, and think about really what we're trying to do to develop our youth, right? To create a stronger community, a stronger workforce. I joke a little bit that, you know, in a lot of these meetings, I hear the phrase, you know, children are our future, right? I hear it all the time. And honestly, you can hear Whitney Houston belting it out of the 80s, right? but the truth is, I mean, the real statement are all children are future, right? I mean, it's inherent that children are going to be our future. We get it.
And we all have a responsibility to try to do something to help them improve their lives.
Yeah, that opportunity just isn't available for all, right? We have the talent. We just have to make sure we're opening up the opportunities.
Well, Pat Sukum, we are out of time for this hour, but I look forward to talking with you again. Thank you for joining us on a holiday, and thank you for your contributions to Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Twin Cities. Over the years, we look forward to hearing good things about your achievements in your new job. The incoming CEO of Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Twin Cities, our guest today, Pat Sukum. Wishing you the best, Pat. Thank you for making time for NPR today. And to our listeners, thank you for your time. Have a good Memorial Day. This conversation was produced by NPR's Samantha Matsumoto. Hi, I'm Angela Davis, and you just heard a recording of a live radio show from NPR News. To add your voice to the conversation, you can call in at 651-227-6000 or tweet me at Angela Davis NPR. If you missed us live, you'll find all of our shows by subscribing to this podcast. Thanks for listening.